moments of desperation. You have climbed, you have fought, you have won. But this valley that lies coldly before you casts a shadow that you cannot overcome. And just when you thought you had it all together, you knew every verse to get you through. But this time all the sorrow broke more than just your heart, and reciting all those verses just won't do. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He is there. Instead of asking, why did it happen? Think of where He can lead you from here. And as your pain is slowly easing, you can find a greater reason to live your life triumphant through the tears. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He is there. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He is there. When answers aren't enough, He is there.
I don't know if any of you have ever been to Lake Michigan. Probably a few people have. But in the summertime, Lake Michigan usually lies calm and placid. And for many years now, great crowds have flocked there in the summer to enjoy the cooling breezes that sweep in across the beaches and to enjoy the swimming and the boating. Many years ago, it was enjoyed just like it is today. And there were a group of people on a small ferry boat that was touring along the edge of the lake. And suddenly, out of nowhere, and before they could make it for shelter, a storm raced across the lake and engulfed them. And within minutes, this pleasure party was in complete panic. Water was pouring out from the sky, washing in on high waves, threatening to swamp the boat. They desperately were bailing with whatever they could find to scoop up water, but it was useless. At the height of the storm, the little boat began to go under. And soon there was a score or more people struggling for their lives in the water. On the shore, there was a young man who saw their plight. And seeing the great peril the passengers were in, and being a pretty good swimmer, he dived into the angry waves and he swam toward the drowning people. He caught hold of one and dragged him to the shore until he could stand. A second one he rescued from a broken mast. A third he rescued from a piece of drifting timber. Time and again, he went out into the angry water until other small craft arrived and began pulling the survivors out of the water. In all, that young man rescued 19 people from almost certain death. 19. He was a pretty good swimmer, I think. When it was over, as you can imagine, he was really exhausted. He had given everything, and he had to be hospitalized for exposure. And he suffered a long bout with pneumonia before recovering. On the anniversary of the tragedy and of the gallant rescue, newspaper reporters came to the home of this youth. Among many questions that they asked was this: what is the thing you remember most about that day? You can't believe his answer. This is what it was. He says, not one of those 19 people ever bothered to say thank you. And so I'm wondering, do we ever treat God like those 19 rescued people did to the brave young man who saved their lives? You know, out of those 10 lepers in the scripture reading whom Jesus healed, only one returned to give him glory. Only one even said thank you. Others just went their way, forgetting him who made them whole. How could they? How could they? But do we have a tendency to do the same thing? Has the Lord done things for us that we've forgotten to thank him for? Does God do things for us that we don't even recognize that he's the one who did it? When was the last time you thanked God for your health? As you get older, you get more appreciative for that, right? I'm finding I'm thanking God for my health all regularly now. I didn't used to. But when was the last time you thanked God for the continuous protection of angels for when you drive your car every day? And when was the last time you thanked God for the convictions from the Holy Spirit and the drawing of the Holy Spirit on your heart? And when was the last time you thanked God for the truth you know that so many other people haven't had the opportunity yet to know? Aren't you thankful you know the truth for the last days? Desire of Ages 3:48 says that ingratitude can close our hearts against the grace of God. That's a pretty solemn thing. So do we have a need to cultivate thanksgiving? To cultivate it? So what are you thankful for? Are you truly thankful for Jesus, who died in your place, who paid the wages of your sin so that eternal life can be yours? Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 9. I want to share here something that Paul said that just kind of, well, let's just go to it. But I want to ask this question. What did Paul call the grace of God that was revealed through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross? What did he call that grace of God that put Jesus on the cross? 2 Corinthians 9:15. He just writes this short verse, says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Wow. He called it the unspeakable gift. Do you get the impression that Paul was more in awe of the gift of Calvary than most of us today? I kind of get the impression there. You know, when I was 13 years old, my sister was in her first year of marriage. And she and her husband had an apartment close to the elementary school I went to. I was in eighth grade, and my father didn't pick us up until he got out of work. So my brothers and I, we kind of found adventures to do, sometimes got in trouble, but sometimes we'd go visit my sister. And they were always so good to us when we visited. But one time, my sister Terry told me that my brother Tim was much more appreciative than I was. He always thanked her and her husband for things they did for him, But she told me that often I didn't even say thank you. She said, you act like you appreciate it, but you don't usually say so. That was humbling to me because I thought I was better than my brother. I found out he had some traits that were better than me. That was a humbling experience for me. She said it nicely, and I haven't forgotten it to this day. And it's an area where I've had to grow, and actually, I have to admit, an area where I'm still growing. I still sometimes forget to thank people. It's a trait that I really wish wasn't there. But it's something that I've had to consciously try to do things. Because for years, I prayed, and I was always asking God, do this, you know, we do that, bless so-and-so, you know. And then I remembered my sister saying that. I said, you know, I have to do something so that thanking God is a bigger part of my prayers. And so my prayer list always starts with thanking God first before anything else. And I wrote a lot of things down because I have such a tendency to forget and be appreciative that I wanted it all written down. I've got a long list of things I thank God for every day because I'm trying to cultivate that attitude, the gratitude. You know, people who have been truly changed by God, they have a deep gratitude for his intervention in their lives. I know I do. And Bible writers, you see this in some of the Bible writers, especially Paul and David. Bible writers express much thanksgiving and praise to God. You know, in the concordance, I looked up thanked, thankfulness, thanks, thanksgiving. And these words are in the Bible 140 times. I actually thought it'd be more than that, and then I thought, well, maybe the Bible writers use praise more than thanks. So I went and looked up praise, and there was almost 300 entries for praise. So when you put those together, there's quite a bit. But which book of the Bible would you expect to have half of those thanks and praises to God? Yeah, Psalms. You just know it, right? Psalms is filled with it. Let's look at a couple. Let's go to Psalm 69 and verse 30. Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69, verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. That's the purpose of Thanksgiving there, right? Did your Thanksgiving magnify God? Now, it's not talking about the holiday here, but surely the holiday should, right? We should have that Thanksgiving all the time, magnifying God all the time. All right, let's go to Psalm 100. Jessica read this psalm in the children's story, but let's just take a little bit of a closer look at it. Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You see here a major purpose for coming together in worship is to be thankful together, right? Do we come into the sanctuary consciously thankful when we arrive, like the psalmist is describing here? Let's go to Psalm 119, Psalm 119, longest book of the Bible, and we'll go to verse 62. Psalm 119, 62. I'm sharing this one because it really surprised me when I found it. So at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and just had an urge to thank God for his righteous judgments? I have to admit, I don't think I have. But the psalmist did. You know, David apparently did. Now, that's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, are we thankful for God's righteous judgments? Aren't we thankful he doesn't make mistakes and that everything he does with us is fair? Is that worthy of waking up in the middle of the night and praising him for? Yes. David thought so. Now, I want to go to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. And there's a verse here about Daniel thanking God that I think it's in an interesting context, a very familiar context. Daniel chapter 6. Anyone know what Daniel 6 is about? Yeah, that's the whole story of Daniel and the lion's den. All right. In Daniel chapter 6, the end of verse 7, we see the decree is read, and anyone who prays any other god other than the king or whatever is going to be cast into the den of lions. And we know that Daniel continued to pray openly, but it didn't catch my attention that there's something in particular that he said in his prayers that fits what we're talking about today. Let's read verse 10. Daniel 6:10 says, "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." So here a decree was passed to cast anyone caught praying into a den of lions. Daniel continues to pray openly anyway, and we've always admired his faithfulness and courage, but it more recently hit me that these prayers included giving thanks to God. Could you thank God even if a plot has come out in the open to end your life? Or would you be more obsessed with asking him to help? I think I would be totally obsessed with asking for his help and trying to make sure I have faith and believe in God and whatnot. But Daniel thanked God the way he always did. That's pretty powerful. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. We'll take a look at a couple of Paul's thoughts on thanking God. Romans chapter 6. Now, Paul expressed thanks for the power of God to change lives. And this is what's really going to come out in these verses. If you're in Romans 6, go to verse 17. We're going to read 17 and 18. Paul is really appreciative of the power of God to change lives. He says, verse 17, Romans 6, 17 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness." And he's thanking God for that. I mean, isn't that worthy to thank God for that? Can you identify with that? Now, when Paul talks about the sting of death in 1 Corinthians 15, he says that death is swallowed up in victory. In verse 57, he wrote, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." How thankful are you for that hope? What a victory it will be when at the second coming, graves will burst open all over this planet, and faithful ones will be gathered up to Jesus, reunited with their faithful loved ones. Hallelujah. And I imagine the thankfulness to God will be nearly heartbursting on that day, in an awesomely good way, of course. Can you just imagine what that day will be like? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, all right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, here Paul talks about how often we should be thankful. How often do you think that will be? All the time. Now, it doesn't say that here, but you're going to see something. It means it has to be, all right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So if you're giving thanks for everything, is there ever a time to stop? Doesn't seem like it. That's why I said I think it's all the time, right? All right, that's a powerful verse. Does God expect us to look for the bright side of everything? Amen. Apparently. And you know, you can't help but think, you know, if you know the story of Corrie ten Boom and The Hiding Place, you know that the women in the concentration camp got infected with lice. They got lice in their hair. And at first they were cursing the lice. Do you remember what made them thank God for the lice? Yeah, the lice kept the guards away. And so they started praising God for the lice. That's always been a great lesson, a great illustration. You know, after all, Romans 12:21 says that evil can be overcome with good. So we are to trust God in all things and even love our enemies, and we are to watch God work. After all, if God is with us, do we need to be anxious or fretful? I'd like you to go to Philippians chapter 4. The book of Philippians, chapter 4. You know, Daniel didn't seem too anxious or fretful when he prayed after he knew about the death decree in the den of lions. You get the picture of calmness. I'm sure, though, that it was not easy to be calm, and it wasn't easy to not feel anxious or fretful. But it seems like Daniel had that. How can we find that peace which passes all understanding? Look at Philippians 4. I'm going to start with the last phrase of verse 5. It says, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. By the way, be careful for nothing here means don't be anxious for anything. Most translations put it that way. So the Lord is at hand. He is nigh. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen is right. I'm going to tell you a parable now. It's a parable of thanksgiving. I didn't write it, but it's good. Behold, a certain man in a great city had worked hard and accumulated great possessions, but he also loved God and he gave generously to the poor. And it came to pass that as the season of giving thanks was drawing near, this man called together the people and he said, let us have a service of giving thanks, each according to what he is able to give. Let us express our appreciation to God for all he has given us by bringing an offering, and before feasting, we will give him thanks. This is an old parable. A poor peasant spoke up. Sire, it's easy for you to say this. God has blessed you with much. I cannot be so thankful. God has scarcely blessed me at all. The money changers own my house, and the tax collectors hound me. How can I give thanks with nothing of my own? Behold, the man looked and had compassion on the poor peasant. The rich man had shared with him many times. Now, could he give him more than possessions? Could he give him confidence and hope in God? The man quietly replied, sir, bring your family to the service of thanksgiving, my friend. When it comes time, I will give you half of my riches if you will give me half of your riches. The people gasped, just like somebody did on the front row over here. But the poor peasant leaped for joy. He could hardly wait for the day of thanksgiving. And it came to pass that the special day brought rejoicing. When everyone except the rich man and the poor peasant had given his offering, they faced each other across the mound of harvest that others had brought. The poor peasant's heart beat fast. Today, he and his family would go home rich. The rich man slowly stood. He says, you all know, he began, of the bargain I made with your friend. Everyone nodded. The rich man went on. The doctors have told me that one of my legs is no longer healthy, and it's not too far in the future where I won't be able to walk. Friend, you have two good legs. Give me half. Give me one of your legs. And the peasant, he couldn't help it. He grabbed his leg and he said, but sire, I cannot give up a leg. No one saw the little smile that the rich man hastily covered. He goes, all right. He goes, that would be pretty hard to do anyway. He says, I'll forgive you on that point. And then he pointed to the pair of bright, curly-headed twin boys standing with the poor peasant and his wife. He said, my wife and I have no children. Give me, I pray, one of yours. I will treat him as my own. And the peasant threw an arm around each of his boys and cried, never, not for half your possessions, not for all your possessions. And he drew himself up proudly. And laughter filled the air, and the rich man asked, can you still say that you have nothing for which to be thankful? The poor peasant shook his head, still holding his sons. And behold, the rich man and the no longer poor peasant stood together as brothers and gave thanks to God for their blessings. So which man was really rich? And why would you answer the way you do? Do you count all of your blessings or just the ones that are more obvious that everyone else can see? I'm going to share a poem called How to Observe Thanksgiving. How to Observe Thanksgiving. It says, count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Amen. And then Philippians 4, 5, and 6 is here in a different translation. It says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, in the book Desire of Ages, it says, it is for our benefit to keep every gift of God fresh in our memory. When we keep the gift of God fresh in our memory, it helps us to have faith. We're remembering what he's done. It gives us courage to keep going. It strengthens our faith to praise and thank God, and it encourages us to claim and receive more from him. You know, I read a report that came from 3ABN, I don't know how long ago it was, quite some time ago, but a study had been done on thankfulness that showed that the attitude of thankfulness can cause the secretion of endorphins. Endorphins are kind of like the happy enzyme for the brain. Runners say they get it at a certain point. I don't know how hard you have to work to get it as a runner, but just being thankful will get it to you a lot easier. That was in Desire of Ages 347 says, the gifts which the gospel offers are not to be secured by stealth or enjoyed in secret. So the Lord calls upon us for confession of his goodness. And then she quotes Isaiah 43:12, says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. I'd like you to go to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles. Say amen when you're there. 1 Chronicles 16. It's taken me a little bit to get there, so. I love this verse because it really ties in what that means when it says that our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. The best thing you can do for Jesus and for another person is to tell them what God has done for you. Amen. So they see something real is happening, that God is real. All right, here we are. 1 Chronicles 16, 8 and 9. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. You see, if we talked about God's wondrous works more, it would bring glory to God and it would point more people to God. Do we all have something to share? Can we all say something about what God has done for us? Sure we can. It may not be your life story, but that's still a testimony. That's still a testimony. Anything you say, what God's done for you, is a testimony. Every individual, this is again from Desire of Ages 347, says, every individual has a life distinct from all others and an experience differing essentially from theirs. God desires that our praise shall ascend to him marked by our own individuality. Amen. Don't you like that? And so I've got some people that are going to be sharing. You can come on out, Tasia. This is Tasia Hall, one of our young adults, and she's just going to share something she's thankful for.
I'm thankful for something that might be strange to some, but hopefully familiar to others, my trials. I've had a rough last few months spiritually, but it's really helped me to see the character of Christ. I've had a lot of things fail, a lot of friendships dissolve, a lot of plans just fall apart, but I'm so thankful that they did, because later down the line, God helped me to see how that was part of his grander plan for my life. So I'm very thankful for everything that did not go the way that I wanted it to.
Thank you. Dean is going to share a special thanks that she has to God.
I'm very thankful that God has spared my life. Not long ago, in August, exactly on my birthday, I had a horrible car accident. And the policeman helped me to get out of the car, to look at myself and to see that I'm unharmed. I did not have a bruise, I did not have a fracture, I did not have a scratch, nothing. And thank God for that. Amen. I'm thankful also for my family, for my son and my daughter-in-law. I'm thankful for my friends, Aurora and Daniela, Sylvia. I'm thankful for the friends in the church. I'm thankful also for the fact that God has kept me healthy at this age, and I'm still able to work. Thank God for everything, and I thank God every morning.
That car was totaled, by the way. Mike Grace.
First and foremost, I'm thankful for God's mercy and forgiveness that has allowed me to live as his child. For Jesus' love that has bought my salvation through his sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit that gently brought me to this Adventist faith 12 years ago, inviting me to be part of this church family, for which I am very thankful, and that God continues to work in my life. I'm also thankful that I was blessed with loving parents and still have my father, who will be 92 in just 2 weeks. I've been blessed with a good family. I have a career I enjoy, and that my adult children are employed and not living at home. And I'm physically well, and all of my parts are working, even though some are showing a little wear and tear. And for this and much more, I am truly thankful.
Now Linda Glines will share.
As you know, we all probably have an endless list of things that we're thankful for, but I wanted to point out about three or four of them. I really thank God for giving me a father that was God-fearing. And you'll see why, because I went with him to church when I was a child, but then I went out into the world. So I thank God for my deliverance from alcohol. And when I was in search of something more than what I thought was spiritual kindergarten, I knew where to go, and there were other religions out there, false religions, that saw that I was ripe and that I was searching, and thank God I knew about him, and I knew they were false. And I ultimately, through a chain of events, ended up here in God's remnant church, and I'm truly thankful for that. And I've thanked my father, by the way. I'm very grateful. I actually still have both parents living. But it reminded me of the scripture in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I thanked my father for that. But of course, it was God and the Holy Spirit working through him. Amen. That got me here.
Thank you, Linda. Richard Anger.
I'm thankful for the offerings. I'm thankful that God has infinite patience and waited on me. I'm thankful that he blessed me with a wonderful wife and family, even in all our imperfections. I'm thankful that he sent my grandson to prison, because in prison he found Jesus. Had it not been for that, he'd have continued to wander lost in this world. I'm thankful that God allowed me to survive 2 motorcycle accidents. And I think I'm thankful that he allows me to still ride. And I'm thankful for this church and my church family, a place where Pearl and I can come and fellowship and worship.
Maybe God is trying to tell you not to ride anymore.
But it's so much fun. So thank you, church family. Thank you. And I thank God for the opportunity to serve in whatever capacity he calls me to. It's been a blessing. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And now Karen Johnson.
Good morning. Some years ago, I'm reminded of worshiping with my mother. I was not Seventh-day Adventist, I was in a First Day church. And I remember turning to my mother and I said, you know, Mom, I have no sad stories to tell. Mom turned and she looked at me and she says, you know, baby, I have no sad stories to tell either. Life would continue on, and in 2006, some of you know, I experienced one of the most ghastly, horrific experiences that I would have ever imagined. My husband was snatched away by a gentleman or man who was on a murderous rampage. As a result of that, I lost my stepchildren. I lost, of course, my husband. I lost tons of money. I lost my home. I lost a lot of material possessions, but I never lost hope. Mm-hmm. I never lost my faith. And I am so thankful now that I'm still standing, and that God has given me a message to tell people that after tragedy, you too can live again.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Elizabeth Renhifo.
I promise I'll do it in 45 seconds. He called me, he said, Pastor, can I do it over? No, 45 seconds. I can write a book of all what I'm thankful for, you know. The Lord says, call to me and I will answer you and I show you great and mighty things that you did not know. So I took on his word and I asked the Lord. Most of you know my experience that I was married, about to be married someone else. But the Lord says, no, this is going to be your husband. So I'm thankful for my husband. I asked the Lord for someone that loved Jesus and funny, and he gave me both. So all the wrinkles, I blame him to my husband. So I'm thankful I'm thankful for all of you that I love so much. 45 seconds?
You have 5 more seconds. No. you've done good.
No, I threatened our pastors.
I threatened the timer. Dennis Mitchell.
Okay, that's 30 seconds,
Elizabeth,
45 seconds, it's going to be hard for me, even though I have so much to be thankful for. And I'm a cancer survivor, and I learn to give thanks to God, learn to thank him every day for the grace and the mercy that he shows me for the poor choices that I've made. And I'm so thankful for this church family that shows me love and mercy every day of my life. And above all, for a loving wife that loves me, for even when that knows me for when I've not done the right things. And one more thing, I want to thank. I'm grateful for the truth that we know, as a church, for our health and the message that we have. Amen. Thank you for loving me.
Thank you, Dennis. And now Ray. Ray, I don't think you can top your wife because she's thanked the Lord for you. So.
Oh, I better be thankful for her too then.
Yeah, probably.
And I do, Pastor. I am thankful for my wife. Every day and every year, I thank the Lord besides time and the cross for my sins. I also thank him for my wife, because if it wasn't for my wife, I don't know what kind of life I would be living now. You see, in my late teens and my early 20s, even though I called myself a Christian, I was a lover of the world more than a lover of Christ. And with tears in my eyes, I remember looking out my bedroom window and looking at the sky and the moon at night and asking the Lord to send a woman that would love me and respect me and love me for who I am. And the Lord sent me Elizabeth. And I know that was an answer to prayer because she was engaged to be married with another man. Their date was set. They had already had their bridesmaids all selected. But the Lord told her, you're not marrying him. You're going to marry Juan Ramon Renjifo Benitez III. And for that, thank you, my darling, for listening to the Lord speaking in your ear. And the Lord has blessed us with two beautiful children. I have a son that's a pastor. My daughter married a pastor. My father-in-law was a pastor, and my wife is always preaching. So I have been blessed all around. God bless you all.
Okay, Kula. Kula Addy.
I am so thankful for my mother's strength. She is currently caring for a lot of people, including my 80-year-old grandmother with dementia, whose condition is worsening daily. But my mom's strength is founded on her faith in God and her constant prayers. But it's interesting because she doesn't pray for herself. It's her prayers for others, including myself and my siblings. So if at some time you think your life is just going so wonderfully and you don't know why, it's probably your mommy or someone like mine that is praying for you. Amen. I'm thankful.
Amen. Thank you, Kula. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Were those sharing moments marked by their own individuality? I think so. Let me read that quote again. It says, every individual has a life distinct from all others and experience differing essentially from theirs. God desires that our praise shall ascend to him, marked by our own individuality. And again, our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. That's powerful. You know, you think about it, you know, if those people were running into somebody in the grocery store or somebody at work, they might not have been able to say everything they said, but they probably could have picked one gem out and it would make an impact. And we can all do that everywhere with people. Just think, oh, thank the Lord for such and such. Or thank the Lord for this or that. We can do that. That's heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. The world wants to know that God really cares about people. They won't get interested in the Sabbath too much until they know God really cares about people.
Amen.
So we need to start with who God is, what kind of God he is, a God of love. Last week, there was an insert in the bulletin called Gratitude with a New Attitude. And on the back, there was something that kind of hit me. Because the last week, probably Friday, I felt a strong impression that I should write a letter to somebody in Michigan and thank them for something they did in my behalf a few years ago. It just hit me when I woke up in the morning, and I just thought, I need to do that. This person needs to know how much I appreciated it. And then I came to church the next day, and I read this on the back of this insert. It says, researchers have also discovered that individuals who write a note of thanks can improve interpersonal relationships for up to 6 months. John Kralik discovered this for himself. He wasn't satisfied at work, he was divorced twice, and he wasn't close to his children. Remembering his grandfather's advice to be grateful, he decided to write 365 thank you notes over the next 365 days. He not only experienced a change in attitude, he experienced a change in his whole life, which he wrote about in his memoir called A Simple Act of Gratitude, How Learning to Say Thank You Changed My Life. And then he wrote this, I don't need a scientific study to know that if you are grateful to people and if you learn how to accept gratitude well from other people, your life will be enriched, he said. The first effects are that you realize you have a much better life than you thought. Have you ever been impressed to write a thank you note to somebody? Don't ever push that aside. Because not only is God in it, It's powerful. It can change your life, and it can help somebody who's down, really pick them up. It can improve relationships for 6 months just because of the kindness that's in it. So this whole thing about writing notes of gratitude, I think it's big. And then there's a little quote from another person that was hosting a show on Today's Show about this. She wasn't hosting, she was a guest. And she was talking about, no matter what the circumstances, on a daily basis, I try to take a deep breath and be thankful for all I have. And then she said this, making a concerted effort to count your blessings every day is the absolute key to happiness. Now, we know that happiness involves Jesus. But isn't that part of being a follower of Jesus? Is to count your blessings every day, being thankful to God every day, praising God every day, being thankful to people. That I believe that is the key to happiness. It changes our attitude. Well, there are different ways of expressing thanks. You know, we can write notes to people. We can just pat them on the back and tell them how much we appreciate them. There's all kinds of different ways of expressing thanks. And as you know, we haven't had the offering yet today. So I'm going to call Richard Anger out because we're going to have an opportunity to express our thanks through the offering. But don't let that be enough. Don't let that be enough. Follow through with some of the ideas that came out today. All right, Richard.
I'd like to invite the ushers and deacons to come forward. And family, we're going to do a little differently today. As they come forward, they're going to immediately start collecting your gifts. And Pastor Fred will be praying over the gifts when he does a closing prayer. You know, the Bible tells us in Exodus 35:21, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. You know, there's a story that I heard once, and I'm sure you probably heard it before, maybe even from up here, that there was a pastor once and wanted to try an experiment. So he told his deacons, he says, when you go through and you pass the offering plate, when you get a dollar bill or any bill in a larger denomination than a dollar, I want you to whistle loudly. Well, it wasn't long and the church was filled with a sound of whistling and merriment and people laughing and having a good time. But you know what happened? And the offering that day was three times what it normally was. Now, I doubt if the pastor did that a second time, and he was probably using that simply as a sample for what the Bible tells us by Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:7, when he said that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. But you know, in that passage from Exodus 35:21, it was apparent that the Israelites were joyful over the opportunity to sustain the temple. And we have a beautiful edifice here to worship God in. I mentioned that's one thing that I am thankful for Sacramento Central. And so this is your opportunity today to show God how grateful you are, how grateful I am for his blessings and his mercy. God does so much for us throughout the year. And sometimes I think we do so little in return. I was sitting in the sanctuary here this morning before anything started, kind of reflecting, and a thought crossed my mind that as I was thinking how in awe they were in the days of the patriarchs of God and how they worship God, and I take a look at what we do today, including myself, and say, you know, I think we'd kind of taken God for granted today. You know, I don't think we really realize what an awesome entity that God really is. The power that he wields, the amount of love that he has when he sent his son to hang on the cross, that you and I have an opportunity for salvation. We serve a loving, merciful, fair God. He chastises us at times, but that's a blessing, and we should thank him for that, because when he chastises us, we need it. And so I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful that you have been a faithful congregation in your tithes and offerings. And oh, by the way, I think the IRS is hiring extra people right now. And you know why they do that? They do that so they can get more of your money. And before time's run out, you got a chance to let it slip through their little fingers by giving to God's house. You have saved it, and you have taken your money, and you've planted it where it can do some good. Or maybe your contribution may, just in some small way, bring a sinner to the foot of the cross. Thank you, and again, your offerings will be blessed when Pastor Fred uses a closing prayer.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which for my birth over and around us lies, Lord of all glory reigns, tis our grateful song of praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friend above, pleasures pure and undefiled, Lord of all delivering ways, tis our grateful song of praise. For the gift of thy dear Son, for the home of heaven at last, for the Spirit's victory won, for the crown when life is past, Lord of all delivering ways, songs of gratitude to
Father in heaven, we thank you for your countless blessings. There's so much for which we can be thankful. Things that we often take for granted are some of the biggest. But Lord, we just pray that you will help us to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of thankfulness that will be a blessing to ourselves and a blessing to others and a blessing to our church. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity which we just had to show thanks for your blessings through giving. And we pray that you'll bless that offering, that it'll serve its intended purpose, and that it'll make a difference for the salvation of souls. Lord, there's so much to be thankful for, but the thing that we are the most thankful for is your unspeakable gift through Jesus.
Amen.
And his continued work as the Lord of our lives, that he is in the control center of the universe, working for us, helping us to be successful in our mission. We just thank you and praise you for Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we ask and say all these things. Amen.